Amen. Mary, did you know? That's a beautiful song. Thank you, Miss Ann, for opening up our worship with a beautiful prelude on the organ. And today's an exciting day to be in the house of the Lord. We've had a good morning already. Looking forward to a great night of worship. You should have seen it yesterday. We have another row of chairs. All the floor is filled with instrumentalists. We got musicians all over there. The choir's packed out all these chairs. And we had a great worship experience practicing yesterday. Now we get to share it with you tonight. So we're looking forward to that and hope you are able to come and be a part of it at 5 o'clock this afternoon. Be praying for us as we get ready for that. Now, anticipating what God's going to do in this service, and so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we humble ourselves before you in prayer and ask you to bless us as we come close. Lord, you said if we draw near to you, that you would draw near to us. And Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for your love for us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Thank you for breaking the chains of sin and setting us free. Lord, thank you that we're no longer captives, but we are now part of your kingdom, Lord. And we are citizens of heaven. And Lord, we have been redeemed by your blood. I thank you for Jesus. Bless this service. Bless our singing. May it be truly worshipful. And Lord, may you be pleased with our singing, our worship, our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand as we sing the beautiful song, Joy to the World, the Lord is come.
In week 3 of Advent, we light the candle of joy, or the shepherd's candle. From Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people."
right. So on this third Sunday of Advent, we light the third candle on the Advent wreath, the pink candle that represents joy. We welcome you this morning. Glad that you're here, part of our 10:30 traditional worship. Take a few moments. Welcome your friends. Glad you're a part of FBC today. Enjoy being here.
Along with us, Christmas is Jesus.
Christmas is Jesus. Jesus, born to save. Christmas is Jesus.
Is Jesus. And that's our theme for the month in this service. As we think about all that Christmas means, it's all about Jesus. We're going to sing Away in a Manger, Forever Amen at this time. We want you to sing along with us as the ensemble leads and the choir leads as well.
Ooh.
Amen. Our offertory hymn today is Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We're going to sing all three stanzas. So when we get to the third stanza, we'll all stand together and sing.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. You know, Sundays can be long for Ken and myself, but there's great joy in that. So we come on, especially during the Christmas season. This is why I'm bringing it up in Christmas season. You know, in Christmas season, we come to our early worship, and then there's the praise team and the full band and singing Christmas in a totally different way. And that's just wonderful, and it's great, and it's celebration. Still light the same Advent candles and do the same things, but it's awesome. Then we get to stay over and do Christmas hymns and sing those great Christmas hymns, and then have the choir lead us in a great Christmas hymn, Go Tell It on the Mountain. So what a joy it is to be able to be a part of both of those celebrations during the Christmas season. John chapter 15, verse 11 is our verse for the day. John chapter 15, verse 11. So today is the third Sunday of Advent. We lit earlier on the Advent wreath, we lit the pink candle, the third candle that represents joy. So earlier, 2 weeks ago, we lit the hope candle and we talked about hope. And then we, last Sunday, we lit the peace candle. We talked about peace. So today, we light the joy candle and we talk about joy. So the angel of the Lord, and the reason that the candle is pink is because it represents the joy of the proclamation. So the angel of the Lord said, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." So today, we talk about joy. John chapter 15, Jesus gives us, for those of us like myself with simple brains, He gives us pictures. And pictures are good for people like me because we hear it in word, but then all of a sudden when we see it in a picture, it really registers to us. So Jesus gives His disciples this picture. He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I remain in you, then you will bear much fruit. For apart from me," He says, "you can do nothing." So the picture is so clear. Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. We are connected to the vine. If we're not connected to the vine and the branch is cut off, what happens to the branch? The branch falls to the ground. It has no life-giving source. It just dies on the ground. So it's a very, very, very vivid picture. The branch, Joel, has to be connected to the vine, Jesus, in order to have life, in order to produce life. Apart from being connected to the vine, you, Joel, can do absolutely nothing. So with that as the foundation, I'm the vine, you are the branches, stay connected to me, you'll produce good fruit, don't, you'll die and wither. So with that then as the foundation, we have verse 11 is our verse for the day. I have told you these things. I've given you this picture so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, even then your joy will overflow. Some of your translations say it this way, so that your joy may be complete. So Jesus is telling his disciples today, right here on the third Sunday of Advent, joy. We light the candle that represents joy. Jesus is telling us very clearly, true joy comes in obedience to Him and to Him alone. True joy comes to being connected to the vine. So just like with peace, just like with hope, we're gonna try to see the difference between the American definition of joy that you've been raised with. Nothing bad about it. It's not right. It's not wrong. It's not good. It's not bad. It's just the definition that you've been raised with, joy. And then we're going to look at the biblical definition, and we're going to look and see how those two definitions, the world American version and then the biblical version, are totally, totally different. So here's what Webster tells us about joy. Joy is the emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune. All right? So joy is when everything's well, there's success, there's good fortune. Or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. So the American definition of joy is very simple. Get what you want. Once you get what you want, what do you want? And you can go around this sanctuary, early worship as well, and you can have 100 different definitions for that. So what do you want? Get it. And the American version says, then you will have joy. You'll have happiness, delight. Synonyms for joy, then gladness, happiness, delight, and rejoice. All right, now, one of my theological dictionaries defines joy from a biblical perspective. Delight that is not affected by circumstances, but by Jesus alone. All right, let's read that again. Delight that is affected not by circumstances, but by Jesus alone. Do you notice the difference between the two definitions? One is circumstance driven. One is only driven by what you can have or not have in this world. Things you can touch, see, smell. The other is based solely on Jesus and Jesus alone. So one is circumstance driven. One is person driven. One is based on Jesus alone. Like the hope candle. All right, like the peace candle that we lit last Sunday, those hope from the world's perspective, hope from the biblical, from the American perspective, peace from the American perspective is simply based on your outward circumstances. You will have hope, you will have peace based on life going your way. Same is true when it comes to joy. Based on your outward circumstances. The other is based on being connected to Jesus. So here's the simple question for today. This is what it boils down for me. Hope, peace, joy. World's definition, the American definition, that you're going to see tomorrow just by living. All right? You live in America. You're going to see the American version of joy. What you got to do in order to have that. All right? So, American version, biblical version. Now here's the ultimate question. Which one do you want? Good question, I think. Which one do you want? Let me tell you something. It doesn't really matter what your answer is today. What you answer tomorrow will determine which one you want. So which one do you want? I mean, they're not wrong. I'm not saying that one's wrong. One's wrong, one's right. No, that's not my point. They're just two totally different definitions. And you and I will decide by how we live our lives tomorrow which one we want. We know what the answer is today. Yes, Jesus, I've told you these things so that you may be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Secular research, and I've given all of the details at some point about secular research. But let's just take a moment and forget Scripture. All right? Secular research. The world that you and I live in. Secular research concludes that the greatest desire of the human condition is this thing called happiness, joy. So secular research says that if you take 100 people from this culture, put them all in a room, and not just off the top of their head, what do you want most in life? Oh, I think I want, but really studying that, taking a study of human condition and doing that study for years, and then coming to the conclusion, the overwhelming majority of those people in that room would come to the conclusion by saying, what do you want most in life? They would answer, happiness, joy. If I could just be happy, that's what I want more than anything else. So we all want to be happy. If being happy is the greatest desire of the human condition, then how can we find that thing called happiness? Well, first of all, here's good news today. That Jesus, who says, being connected to the vine, he wants us to experience this very thing called joy. On one occasion, the Pharisees asked Jesus, why do we fast all the time? And you and your disciples don't at all. Why? Now, do you realize what they were saying to Jesus? Here's what they were saying. You claim to be the Son of God. If you are the Son of God, why is it that we do religion so much better than you? How can that be? Shouldn't it be the other way around? I think that's a good question from the Pharisees, by the way, actually. You're the Son of God. And we do religion better than you and your disciples. How could that possibly be? I think that's a great question. How is that even possible? Shouldn't it be the exact opposite? Jesus then answered them. He said, there will be a time for fasting. There will be a time for sorrow and mourning. But now is the time for joy and celebration. That is to say, Jesus came to bring joy. One of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. In our world today, we long for this version of happiness. And it has so often eluded us. So we begin by realizing that Jesus wants us to experience this thing that we desire most. I desire it more than anything else. You do too. Well, Jesus doesn't want us to live without it. How great is that? The gospel tells us today that Jesus wants us to have this thing that we desire more than anything in this world, this thing called joy. There are a lot of pathways, and here's where we could do a 5.5-hour sermon, all right? All of the pathways, King Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes kind of narrowed it down for us. And he basically said it like this. Don't even begin to think that you, silly you, have tried something new to find this thing called joy. No. He said it this way. We've tried it all. Everything under the sun. We've gone to great lengths to find this thing called joy and happiness. Now that was thousands of years ago. Can you imagine what King Solomon would say now? King Solomon would say, my goodness, we have really tried it all. In the book of Proverbs, it's broken down into sections. And the third section is called the Wise Sayings of King Solomon. King Solomon in 13 and a half chapters brings more wisdom, godly, Holy Spirit inspired wisdom, than all of the wisdom books that have been written in our world combined. Take every book that's been written in our world, combine all of those books on wisdom, and they don't even come close to comparing to 13 and a half chapters by King Solomon. And here's what he says. There is a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it leads only to death and destruction. To the natural human mind, our sinful nature, there are pathways that seem right. They do. But they always lead to the same thing, disappointment and pain. Why? Because our sinful nature always leads to disappointment and pain. Always. And there's no way around that, church. So we come back to the question. How can we find this thing called happiness, joy? First, true happiness comes in our acceptance of who we are in Jesus. The road to happiness begins when we realize that we have been called to be in Christ and in Christ alone. Second, true happiness comes in our obedience to Him. Once again, King Solomon, those who trust in the Lord will be joyful. That is just as true today as when it was written thousands of years ago by King Solomon. Albert Schweitzer says, we will never find enduring happiness until we make the conscious choice to commit our lives to doing God's will. We will find no rest for the soul, no fulfillment in living, no happiness in life until we commit ourselves to following God's will. True. Third, happiness comes when we give of ourselves to others serving. Once again, Schweitzer said, I don't know what your destiny will be, but one thing I know, the only ones among you who will be really happy are those who will have sought and found how to serve. Let me read that again. I want you to hear that. I don't know what your destiny will be, but one thing I do know, the only ones among you who will be really happy, the thing that you desire the most, are those who will have sought and found how to serve. So you're on a collision course. Because the world that you live in says the exact opposite. So the world that you and I live in teaches us that we will be happiest when we have taken all that we can for ourselves. The philosophy of the world is something like this. All right, you've got to fill yourself up first. Take all that you can take. Fill your tank. And then once you are full, then you can give yourself away. Boy, that sounds good, doesn't it? It does. It sounds good. You know why? Because King Solomon says there are certain things that seem right to the sinful mind, but in the end is gobbledygook. It's mindless drivel. Leads to destruction and pain. And King Solomon just so happens to be right. Because if we take this world philosophy that comes from Oprah and Gayle King and George Stephanopoulos, if we take this world version of, oh, you got to feel, if you want to be a great mother, you got to feel yourself first. If you want to be a great husband, a great wife, a great coworker, if you want to be great, whatever it is that you want to be great at, fill yourself up full. Here's the problem. You're a sinful human being. You will never fill yourself up. It's just like me at a buffet. I can't get enough. And then later I'm, honey, why did you let me do that? I didn't let you do anything. I can't get enough. I mean, you can't fill me up at a buffet. And it's the same with the sinful mind. Solomon was right. This idea that, no, you got to fill up mindless drivel. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Jesus wants us to be filled with joy. Right here at Christmas. That's what he wants for us. And that happiness is known as joy. And it can be found only in being connected to him. Period. There is no other way. We've tried everything under the sun. Connected to the vine. Father, thank you for the good news of the gospel today. And that is exactly what it is. Good news. So that my joy will be complete in you. We cannot find this any other way. There's no way to be full from it, as far as the world is concerned. Just not enough. We always want more. We always want more. We always want more. It leaves us empty rather than full. So may we turn today to the truth claim of the gospel, the good news that comes in Christ and Christ alone. I am the vine, you are the branches. Remain in me, I remain in you, and the branch will bear fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And I've given you this picture so that your joy will be full and complete in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, for that beautiful picture today. If there's anybody that's here that doesn't know Jesus as Savior and Lord, that is our prayer today, that they will trust him. For those of us that know you, Father, burn it deeper in our hearts that joy at Christmas can be found only in Jesus and in Jesus alone. In his name we pray. Amen. Oh, come, all you faithful, is our invitation hymn. If you don't know Jesus, we encourage you to trust him today. If you need to come and pray, join our church, whatever the Lord encourages you to do, you just simply follow through. Do that as we stand and sing.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels.
Be seated real quickly. What do we got first? Oh, this morning in our early worship, I baptized Knox Strickland. They've only been coming to our church for a couple of weeks. They're not members yet, but Knox accepted Jesus earlier in the week. His mama called and said, he wants to be baptized, but we're not members. I said, we'll worry about that later. Let's baptize that young man. I said, when does he want to do it? She said, this Sunday. I said, we'll put water in the baptistry room. We'll do it. So we did. You see Knox Strickland the next time running around the church, you make sure you say a word of encouragement to him. All right? Spots. Parking and renovations for our fellowship hall. Those are some of just the real small beginning projects that we're going to do as we move into 2025. And if you'd like to help fund that, then please help us do so. Parking, that grass parking lot and fellowship hall renovations, we're going to go ahead and start doing some of those things as quickly as possible. All right? Tonight, Christmas is Jesus, Ken, 5 o'clock. First Albertville, First Boaz, First Gunnersville, going to be a great night. You got anything you want to say about that real quick?
Yes, we're out of tickets, but First Boaz had a bunch left since they have so far to go. And anyway, if you want to come and try it, you can come. We're going to open the doors into here at 4:30, but people will be arriving to practice at 4 o'clock this afternoon, and the program will begin at 5 o'clock.
Come see me. I'll somehow slip you in. Just kidding.
You know how to do it.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. All right, it's going to be a great night, y'all. Going to be a great night. All right, what we got next? For those who, December 19th, that's this coming Thursday. For those who would like to go with Micah over to Atlanta for the Processing Center for Samaritan's Purse, see Micah, get that information. He's got a group that's already going with him. So if you'd like to go and be a part of that, see Micah. All right. Outflow, one more outflow for our youth. That's the senior high girls this coming Wednesday night. That's it that's going on this Wednesday night. Nothing else is going on. Everything else is canceled for the Christmas season. So just senior high girls for outflow. All right. Unoffendable, our women's Bible study. Rachel Brown, Julie Brown will start in January. See Rachel or Julie about the information. Winter, spring Bible study. All right, and then we've got Carols by Candlelight next Sunday night, 6 o'clock, one of the great worship services of our church family. Lottie Moon, if you've not yet given, our goal is 100 or 60,000. We've already given 18,000. If you haven't given, make sure that you give as far as Lottie Moon is concerned. Deacon ordination coming up January the 5th with Jared Jackson and Michael Brown. Looking forward to that as well. All right. Let's all stand and close by singing Joyful, Joyful, We Adore You.
Joyful, joyful, we adore you, God of glory, Lord of light. Angels lift in praise before you, sing throughout this holy night. In a manger lies a baby, child of Mary, Son of God. Voices joined in joyful chorus praise you for your gift of love.
Need a little bit of help for any volunteers. We need to move the Lord's Supper table back to the back. We need to move gray chairs into here. 11 right here on the front row. And we need 4 over here, 6 over here, and 1 beside each pew. On